So, Justin, can you follow up a little bit about what we know about EGFR TKIs in the brain? We hear people talking about osimertinib having greater activity in the brain. What is this based on?
Well, I think for any drug, whenever you're evaluating in early phase studies, there are a number of animal models that are done looking at whatever model system, CSF to plasma ratios. So in that preliminary preclinical data, we see that there are very favorable kind of brain to plasma ratios in terms of exposure. But at the end of the day, what's most convincing for clinicians are the clinical responses. Right, so we now have a wealth of data, even dating back to the phase one studies of osimertinib, showing that high rates of CNS activity, and I think that's the most convincing data for clinicians is actually seeing CNS activity. I do think it's important to point out that measuring CNS activity, in these studies, many patients come in with non-measurable CNS metastases, but in order to look at intracranial response rates, by RECIST, it's 1 centimeter or greater and seeing a response. So.
Heather, any thoughts about why osimertinib seems to be more effective in the brain than the earlier TKIs? And is this about the blood-brain barrier or just that it's a better TKI?
That's a great question. I'm not a good enough pharmacokineticist probably to look at that question directly, but I think they all have good CNS penetration. Osimertinib probably is a little bit better. Obviously, it's also, it binds better. We don't know as much about the resistance in the brain and how that might differ from resistance elsewhere. If you think about with the first generation TKIs and the T790M, I'm not aware of data that T790M was more frequent in the brain than elsewhere, so that's not going to be an answer either. It just has excellent CNS penetration, osimertinib does. And when the little data that we do have, where, as Justin was talking about, we have CSF levels or other ways of trying to measure penetration into brain, those were quite good as well. I can't quote you the numbers directly, but I think it just has to do with the molecule itself and that great penetration. I think a parallel story is in the ALK setting as well, where our first ALK drug, crizotinib, didn't have that same level of CNS penetration. Alectinib is very good in that realm, as are a lot of the next generation drugs, especially brigatinib. There's some data there too. And obviously with lorlatinib as well. So I think it just has to do with the molecules and size and CNS penetration. So.
Jeff?
One other point with osimertinib is we're able to maintain the dose, right? Patients start at 80 and most of them can stick at 80. And even the occasional patient that drops to 40, it's still a brain penetrant drug. With erlotinib, when you started having to drop the dose, and a lot of patients needed that, at 100 or at 50, you would lose the CNS activity. And so it's that tolerability and persistence of full dosing, I think, that helps osimertinib stay over the top and maintain its effectiveness.